The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by swarms of flies." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged before you.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us.
Have mercy upon us, O
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord. As Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You may be seated. Jesus speaks those words after something happened. St. Luke, by divine inspiration, recorded for you, "Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, 'He cast out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons,' while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven." So here's the scene before you. Some of these people were accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the devil. Now, anytime you hear that, you should just stop for a minute and just think about that. They're accusing Jesus of casting out demons by the devil. If that sounds ridiculous, it's because it is. And you think about how ridiculous it is, and Jesus points that out as well. He says, "But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." You see, that's the thing with the work of the devil. It's ridiculous. And likewise, so is sin. Sin is ridiculous in what it thinks and what it twists things to be. But Jesus is the truth. And he cuts through all this and exposes the lies. You'll hear more about this in a couple of weeks on Utica, when we hear that right as we enter into Passion Tide. Now, Jesus lays out what he is doing and what this means for the people listening and for you today. Jesus is most assuredly not casting out demons by the devil. But what is he doing? He's casting out demons by the finger of God. just as the finger of God worked a miracle and rebuked the Egyptians in the Old Testament reading. And so he tells us, what does this mean then? The kingdom of God had come in Christ. And what did he come to do? He overcame the devil and his kingdom. Jesus did this by his perfect obedient life and his atoning death. And his resurrection proclaims this victory in all of this, and that you stand justified before the throne of God. So when you hear this reading on this Sunday in the church year and things like this, you ask yourself, where do you fit in with this? Well, this is where Jesus, what he has done and who he has called you to be in the waters of holy baptism. You're not under the devil's kingdom, but live under Christ and his eternal kingdom. So as you sit here this morning listening to all of this as Christians, Jesus is warning you. He goes on after rebuking the people who accused him by giving this vivid warning. We heard this. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. So this warning is laid before you. There is a danger of falling away from the faith. This is called apostasy. If you notice something in the collect of the day today, typically we pray for ourselves and for the church, but we pray for those who have gone away from the faith that they be restored back. We do that on this Sunday of the church year. So the fault, though, always lies with us, the devil, the fallen world around us, and it never lies with God. Because God is the one who gives you the faith, who keeps you in the faith, and he guards and protects you. And how he does this is through the means of grace, through his word and sacraments. The words of the antiphon of the intro at today, from which this name of this Sunday in the church year is derived, they orient you as you go through this life. My eyes, oculi or oculi, are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. So in your life, as you go through this world as the baptized people of God, you fix your eyes on Jesus, and you don't take them off of him. So the danger and the warning is that you are to see, mark, and avoid is how sin and the devil are trying and prowling around like a roaring lion, in the case of the devil, to tear you away from Christ and his kingdom. Now, to be sure, there's always elements that you to avoid where the devil likes to operate. As you think about the second commandment, things like satanic arts or witchcraft, as the old language puts it, don't mess with that stuff. Don't do it. Don't mess with things, fortune-telling, Ouija boards, New Age spiritual practices, anything that goes along with that stuff. Don't touch it. Don't let your guard get down. You mess with fire, you will get burned. Resist those things. Have no part with them. But you see, it goes beyond that, though, and what it speaks about in your daily lives as God's people. 1 John 3 connects this as it teaches you. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he is born of God. So you're warned against the devil in your life, and you see this connection with sin. Now, the epistle reading explains this a bit more, as we heard, this warning, and it teaches you as well. It's important then, as you see the gospel reading and the dangers you face as you go through this world. St. Paul writes, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So God warns you against what is the way of death and really the way of the devil, and he urges you and encourages you to what is the way of the righteous. These two paths are laid out for you, and that's a very Pauline thing, and even in the Old Testament as well. This is what is harmful, this is what is good and right and what you are called to be. But all of this is rooted and grounded in the fact that Jesus has done something for you. And God tells you who you are in the last three verses of the epistle reading. Therefore, do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. You were darkness, now you're light. And so what the devil does is he likes to get you to forget or reject who God has called and made you to be as a Christian. He wants you to think that he is the victor rather than the old evil foe who has been defeated, and one little word can send him fleeing with his tail wagging between his legs. So God exhorts you in James 4. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And so this is why each and every day you examine your life. You see where you have sinned against God. And you see that these are serious things. And so you confess your sin and you repent. Don't be on the losing side. Don't forget. Don't reject. Don't neglect who God has made you to be as his children. Your children of light. And know who you are through the Holy Scriptures and as you receive his sacraments and what this means. Daily repent and return to the Lord. And so, yes, know the devil is strong. But what does the Scriptures teach us? Jesus is the stronger man who has redeemed you. In the baptismal waters, your sin is forgiven, and you have been rescued from death and the devil and given eternal salvation. And so there's a promise in the antiphon of the introit from Psalm 25. It's one of my favorite introits of the church year. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. So God is saying that he will deliver you from any snare that the devil may try to throw in front of you and entice you with. What does God do? He plucks you out of the net. Because the devil is lost, his kingdom is laid waste. We heard earlier that about this week at the Capitol, the Satanic group is going to hold a black mass. And in a sense, this is akin to a losing party. Rather than the feast that is the divine service where you have forgiveness, life, and salvation, and the eternal victory, they're invoking death and the devil. And there's no lost irony among the Christian church in all this, as God will always have the last word, and he cannot be mocked. They, the satanic group, are rejoicing and losing and eternal death. Lord, have mercy upon them. And God grant them repentance that they see the light of light and life that is Jesus and his salvation, who has died for them. So pray and confess the faith and don't get tangled up in the devil's lies. And for you, dear people of God, there's great comfort today. As you gather, as you listen to these words of God given to you, at the end of the gospel reading, it says, "And Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed.' But he, Jesus, said, 'Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" God has redeemed you in Christ. Jesus is your Lord. And the Large Catechism beautifully proclaims this as you know and have who Jesus is in your life. And this is one of those sections of the Large Catechism where it just preaches to us and just sets itself up so well. So this is what Luther preaches in the Large Catechism on the second article of the Creed. For when we had been created by God the Father and had received from him all kinds of good, the devil came and led us into disobedience, sin, death, and all evil. So we fell under God's wrath and displeasure and were doomed to eternal damnation, just as we had merited and deserved. There was no counsel, help, or comfort until this, only an eternal Son of God, in his immeasurable goodness, had compassion upon our misery and wretchedness. He came from heaven to help us. So those tyrants and jailers are expelled now. In their place has come Jesus Christ, Lord of life, righteousness, every blessing and salvation. He has delivered us poor, lost people from hell's jaws, has won us, has made us free, and has brought us again into the Father's favor and grace. He has taken us as his own property under his shelter and protection, so that he may govern us by his righteousness, wisdom, power, life, and boldness. Let this then be the sum of this second article. This little word, Lord, simply means the same as Redeemer. It means the one who has brought us from Satan to God, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, and who preserves us in the same. That's what your Lord has done. You belong to Jesus, and that means everything. Your Lord has saved you. Your Lord keeps you safe. He preserves you, and the devil has been defeated. So as you go through this life, just as you face temptation, you face the devil as one who has the victory already in Christ. You have been clothed with Christ, and all his righteousness is yours through faith. All that that entails, his life, his death, his victory, that's yours. You wear the full armor of God. So send the devil fleeing as Christians do. The word of God is your sword, and you are blessed by God as you have this word. God's holy word and sacraments guard and keep you in the faith, for this none other than the Holy Spirit at work in your life, delivering to you salvation and Christ himself. And you see, in this too, you're not alone. You have been called and gathered into the ark of the church with your fellow saints. That hymn of the day for this Sunday is about us together. We're the church of God, the bride of Christ, redeemed and washed clean by his blood. So even when the waters rise, even when the sky darkens, you will not fear, for the Lord is your light, your life. Rejoice this day. Fix your eyes to the Lord in faith, because one day all the assaults of sin, the devil, and death will end. And your eyes, which are ever toward the Lord, will see Jesus face to face. And you'll be with him and his saints forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.